Several years ago, I was invited to a display of some college students who had designed facilities for seniors as part of their program. I don't remember exactly why I was invited, but there I was looking at these various designs, designed especially for seniors. One design caught my attention because it had a chapel designated for the center of this facility. So I asked the student about it. She said, well, my grandmother is very religious and goes to church. I know that religion is important for old people, so I included a chapel. I asked her if religion was important to her, and she said, no. What I think she meant to say was, of course not. Every year at this time, there appears in the Globe and Mail, which I read regularly, an article or articles about Easter, usually along the lines of, sophisticated modern people no longer believe in Christianity, but why do some people still believe? One this year was no exception. There were three articles that I noticed, and they all happened to be written by former Roman Catholics. Now, why Roman Catholics? I have no idea, but there they are. You can look it up in yesterday's paper. And all three were written by adults who have left the religion of their childhood behind. One writer remembers the faith of her childhood. That was when an all-powerful, all-loving God ruled the world. He was gray-haired and bearded and softly draped in winter white, the compassionate father of a billion children. Well, as she grew up, she lost her faith in such a God. She found herself unable to pray. She did allow that even now as an adult, she sometimes says the Hail Mary prayer when she's feeling stressed. Well, is Christianity a quaint indulgence, only for very old people or very young people? Is Christianity fit for normal, intelligent, modern folks like you and me? Well, perhaps the Easter story might help us reflect on this question. One thing we might notice about the gospel accounts of the Easter story is that the four gospels give very different accounts. All agree that the first witnesses to the resurrection were women, Mary Magdalene chief among them. St. Mark tells of an encounter with a young man who tells the women that Jesus has been raised and will meet the disciples in Galilee. St. Matthew tells of a dramatic earthquake and an encounter with the risen Christ himself. St. John features a man whom Mary thinks is a gardener, but it turns out to be Christ. In today's Gospel from St. Luke, we have a group of women, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women, it says, who go to the tomb to attend to the body of Jesus. To their surprise, the entrance to the tomb is open and the tomb is empty. They are confronted by two men in dazzling white clothes, they're probably angels, who ask them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" You would think that in telling such an important story, the gospel writers would have gotten their facts straight, that they would agree with each other. Well, why the discrepancies? Have you ever noticed how adults, when remembering significant moments in our lives, remember things differently? If you were to ask me and Shannon, for example, to recollect the birth of our sons, I bet we would tell very different stories. We were both there, but we had very different experiences. So, for me, what I remember most is during the birth of Adam, was the nurse yelled at me to sit down and put my head between my knees because she thought I was going to faint. Well, Shannon has a different memory of that experience. Well, the gospel accounts don't try to explain the resurrection, but they don't go into detail into how and exactly what happened. But they do tell a story of how people had a profound experience and how they reacted and responded to it. They give us very human accounts of a powerful and transformative experience which can be best described as a sacred mystery. So in Luke's version, the angels say to the startled women, "Remember how Jesus told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." And it goes on to say that the women remembered his words. So for these women, the mystery of the empty tomb was not a random, unexplained, or even unanticipated event. Jesus had told them this would happen. He provided a narrative context in which the empty tomb has its meaning. In the act of remembering the words of Jesus, the women were able to give meaning to their experience. The women rushed to tell the male disciples, who perhaps typically of men everywhere expressed great skepticism. Our version says these words of the women seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Another translation puts it this way: their stories seemed to be so much nonsense. Well, like modern sophisticated Globe and Mail readers, the male disciples were skeptics. It's Peter who takes the initiative to see for himself. He makes the effort to show up. He goes to see the linen cloths in the empty tomb and returns home amazed, it said, or wondering about what had happened. Again, the mystery of the resurrection is not explained in so many words. It is the experience of real human beings struggling with a mystery which gives the story its authenticity. The story of the empty tomb of Easter is a story of absence. The women expected one thing, the body of Jesus, and encountered something else. I wonder how the burden of expectations might prevent spiritual maturity and growth. If, when we pray, we expect an aged, bearded old man to be attentively listening to our needs and desires, we might be relieved to find out he's not there. When childish images of God are no longer useful, we can let them go. Our images of God are not the same as God. Risking an adult journey of faith might feel awkward at first, but we can learn from the adults we encounter in the Easter story. Here are some things we can learn from the Easter story that tell us about adult Christian faith. Adult faith values our lived experience. Mary Magdalene and the other women experienced something that was a surprise and a mystery. Life is full of moments of surprise and mystery. They speak to us. Adult faith remembers the words. The teachings of Jesus helped the women contextualize their experience so they could understand it. And so Scripture plays that role for us. Scripture can be our guide. Adult faith is shared in community. The women were together in the tomb, and they joined the others to share their story. While their story was not initially believed, they were still part of a community, and their story had an impact. Adult faith welcomes expressions of doubt. The disciples were no different than you or me in expressing their suspicions of the Easter story. Doubt is actually not the opposite of faith. More often, it is fear which prevents faith. Adult faith takes individual initiative. Peter goes to see for himself. Although skeptical, he's not cynical. A cynic would simply stay home. Peter's response to the empty tomb is not belief, but amazement and wonder. He's open to a deeper understanding. This Easter Sunday is an opportunity for us to re-enter our faith as adults. Let us be open to the possibility of the resurrection hope and place our faith in Jesus Christ, the one whom God raised from the dead. Amen.